I'm Kirk Herbstreit, and today I'm eating Raising Cane's.
I want a solid bench of four chicken fingers, crinkle cut fries with Texas toast. Now back to you, Todd.
So the usual.
Make Raising Cane's part of your game day lineup.
Wake up, Lincoln.
I overslept. Damn rooster didn't crow.
It's time for Early Break, sponsored by Midwest Bank. Live from Lincoln, America. Here's 93.7 The Ticket's Jake Sorensen.
I'm wrong, but I'm not.
Husker Online, Steve Sipple.
If I were a feral cat.
And longtime college football assistant coach, Bill Bush.
You get one team. Mine's the Houston Oilers. I'm not the Texans, and I'm not the Titans, so I'm out.
This is Early Break.
Welcome back to Hour 2 on a Tuesday. Steve Sipple, Jake Sorensen, Bill Bush on Early Break. Second hour is always sponsored by our friends at Midwest Bank. Member
FDIC.
Location South Lincoln at 27th and Jamie Lane also at 70th and Pioneers. Now, it was Mascot Monday yesterday.
Which we had some fun with earlier.
Midwest Bank. We did with the paws, right?
The paws and the duck wing.
What's going on today and Tuesday?
Oh,
great,
it's
Bill.
A big day. It's observation day, but it's a toucan Tuesday. So he's got a bunch of toucans that he's brought in, birds. So he's got about 20 of them that he's brought in, and at the same time, he's also having a Fruit Loops buffet.
That's gonna help for Fruit Loops.
Fruit Loops buffet. So when you come in, you get to observe toucans while you eat it, have a bowl of Fruit Loops.
He's very creative.
Imagine all of a sudden that what's going on? Well, do your banking. Come over here. We got a nice table for you, and they're all lined up in their cages. And then some of them have been trained for a while, so they're out.
You can bring them out.
You can bring them out. So you'll bring them out.
Be careful with that.
Yeah.
Be careful. The toucans. Very now, how beaks. Big are the toucans?
Pretty good.
Some of them are pretty big.
Pretty big. So that's some bigger toucans.
Toucan Tuesday.
Yeah, Toucan Tuesday, and so he'll have the birds there for observation, and then he's got just large. And then you get to leave also with a box of Fruit Loops when you leave. So when you leave,
get a free box of Fruit Loops.
So you get Fruit Loops there. And he's got skim milk.
Hey,
he's got 2% and whole milk.
You know who loved Fruit Loops is Marty.
Marty, does he not look like a guy that would love Fruit Loops? Can you see Marty? How would he say pass the Fruit Loops over? Do it for me and Marty.
Hey, give me those Fruit Loops.
Why is Marty also sixth grade Sipple? Why is Marty the same?
Wow, Shindy.
Yeah, Shindaddy's got a big day. Toucan Tuesday.
This is a banner week.
Yeah, it's been a banner week for him.
He's got toucans. Are they loud? I don't know what toucans.
Yeah, toucans can. No,
they
can be really loud.
Yeah,
My neighbor has one. And it's gigantic.
Oh, your neighbor has a toucan?
Yeah. In fact, one time Trix called and said, you got to come home immediately. I was downtown. And she says, you got to come home immediately. I'm like, what's going on? She goes, there's a guy in our driveway, and he's staring up at the sky talking. And she's just looking out the window. I just said, okay, I'll get home. I can get home in 8 minutes. And I got home, and his toucan had gotten loose.
He's in a tree?
He's in a tree. She didn't know the toucan was up there. So the toucan did fly, and it got loose, and it was way up in the tree. Got it down, and then it got worse. He was a nice guy. I like him a lot, actually. And he brought the toucan inside, just like a friendly gesture.
But you have look at my toucan. Did you have a mean dog?
Yeah, we did.
Was that Stitches?
Stitches was okay at that. I mean, he was in the back room, all that. Okay. But then, so Lori was kind of petting the toucan, and it just mangled her finger. In our kitchen.
Toucan mangled.
It's so funny. I don't know. It's kind of like the guys from Oregon getting beer thrown at him. It's like,
anyway, I didn't mean to hijack.
Yeah.
Shindy's got a big day. The Fruit Loops thing threw me for a loop, so to speak. He's got to have a bunch of boxes.
Yeah, so you leave with the box and milk, and you get to have a bowl while you're there. But you observe toucans of all different sizes.
Observe.
It's an observation deck.
It'll be loud.
It'll be loud in there. It will be.
It'll be
annoying.
Can you
give us a sample sound of the two?
No, I can't.
Please just
no.
No, no, no. Don't do that. Just ask. You're it's in the morning. You're at this table. You're back in Columbus. Do Marty ask?
Hey, Steve, give me a Fruit Loop.
Marty. Oh. Oh,
Okay.
All right. Here we go. Let's do sports now.
Midwest Bank. Thank you to Shindaddy. Sponsor me hour two. 464-5685. Call or text as always. We did play a quote in the first hour from Matt Rhule talking about the run defense for Nebraska needs to be good against Penn State, who had 50 rush attempts against Michigan State in their 28-10 win last weekend. Now, Nebraska's last two games will be against defenses that are coached by Jim Knowles and Phil Parker. Very, very solid and, you know, elite defensive coordinators with great defenses to back that up. Now, I'm curious when it comes to Nebraska winning these football games, one in the row, one at home. Toughness has been an issue for this program. You know, you mentioned it's been 10 years of you know, not very good football, of not winning in November, which, what does Bill Callahan tell you?
The games to remember are the games in November.
They've been rough in November.
Pretty good.
And a part of it is toughness and winning in the cold and winning against good defenses. Mm-hmm. You know, if they were to win one or both these games, that would be a big testament to toughness improving in the program, especially against these two teams.
Bill, what, just try to put in perspective what we're dealing with here in that they go from playing UCLA, which had Kevin Coyle, who's a, you know, he's been around.
Well, he wasn't even with him, you know, to start the year. He wasn't even.
They brought him in.
Yeah.
Now you're facing Knowles, Jim, 60-year-old Jim Knowles, and then Phil Parker of Iowa, who's been there forever, and the defense is always good. And once again, top 10 defense at Iowa. Top 25 defense at Penn State in terms of total defense.
Well, you have to
It's a way different picture, right?
Picture's different, but you have to put some things in there. It's kind of like when we talked about UCLA back when we said, okay, what do you guys think about UCLA? Well, that's the same team that gave up 300 yards rushing to New Mexico.
Right.
I'd say a little bit about that about Penn State. That's the same team that UCLA put 42 points on. Mm-hmm. 42 points
it's
on
true.
With the brand new. So it's like, I'm not. This isn't the 85 Bears.
No.
That's not. Northwestern beat them at home. Northwestern went in there and beat them at home. So, no, I'm not putting them in. But they do have talent walking around. I would say that Knowles will be a little bit more free calling things. He's not going to be all just, the stress will not be ridiculous. He'll be like, call it. He'll call it. So there'll be probably more pressures. UCLA was very generic. There'll probably be a little bit more different looks.
Was UCLA generic?
Yeah, but there'll be more different looks for that Penn State will play with. And then Iowa will be Iowa because they've had the same schematics for the last 27 years. But well coached and put together.
Yeah, I had a coach tell me the other day, that, and I don't need to get into who, he said, I was talking to him about Phil Parker, like, what's Parker do? Is he pretty good at disguising? He's like, no, it's not deception. It's not, no. He goes, sports writers are always the same, like, is there some trickery?
Yeah, it's always like, if you're showing them one thing, it turns into another.
No, he says, you know what they
Parker's
do?
Phil Parker's the opposite.
Yeah, he says, you know what they do? Yeah. They cover receivers.
Yes.
They play defense. They cover guys, and the quarterback can't find anybody open, so his eyes go down, and here comes the pass rush. He goes, that's what Iowa does.
Yeah,
they cover. They match routes. Yeah. They do that.
I mean, right now, if you asked any coach that has been around at all, it's like, you know about Iowa? Quarter, half. So that's what they'll say. And then they have this version. And they have
match
this
routes.
And they have some other stuff that they do. But
hey, guys, it's Jake Sorensen. This holiday season, what does comfort look like for you? Is it giving family and friends a restful night's sleep so they can wake up refreshed for the holiday traditions? Is it sharing cozy mornings with the people you love? Or is it slowing down and finding calm amid the chaos? This year, you can create your natural holiday oasis with Avocado Green Mattresses, which helps transform your home into a peaceful, grounding retreat made with certified organic and sustainably sourced materials. From breathable bedding to handcrafted mattresses, Avocado is all about true comfort. You can rest, recharge, and wake up refreshed all season long. Are you hosting some loved ones? Avocado helps you create a warm, inviting home where everyone sleeps well and feels cared for. Prioritize rest and recharge with Avocado's organic comfort. Head to avocadogreenmattress.com today to create your natural oasis and save big during their holiday sale. Avocado, dream of better. Hey guys, Jake Sorensen. The countdown is on. Holiday shopping season is officially here, and Uncommon Goods takes the stress out of gifting with thousands of unique, high-quality finds you won't see anywhere else. Don't wait. The most meaningful gifts get scooped up fast, and now is the perfect time to cross names off your list. Uncommon Goods looks for products that are high quality, unique, and often made in the U.S. Many are crafted by independent artists and small businesses, making every gift feel meaningful and truly one of a kind. I recently got a whiskey board with a Miami Dolphins emblem that comes in a few weeks, and I cannot wait to see the product when it gets to me. Uncommon Goods has something for everyone, from moms and dads to kids and teens, book lovers, history buffs, and diehard football fans to foodies, mixologists, and avid gardeners. You'll find thousands of new gift ideas that you won't find anywhere else. And with every purchase you make at Uncommon Goods, they give back $1 to a nonprofit partner of your choice. They've donated more than $3.1 million to date. So don't wait. Cross those names off your list before the rush. To get 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/earlybreak. That's uncommongoods.com/earlybreak for 15% off. Uncommon Goods, we're all out of the ordinary.
Like I said, that was the ability, because you knew they were a quarters team. So a quarters teams mean you can hold the safeties with the pass and then hit a post behind them. That's exactly what Trey Palmer did to him on about that 80 yarder. That was versus quarters.
That was amazing.
They held the safeties and just isolated the corner on a post with no help.
So is that man to man then?
It's matchup man. So you are matched up. But some people always say that, well, quarters is zone. Well, it's not zone eyes. Quarters is a matchup zone.
They're matching routes, right?
If you use the term country three or field three, that's a eyes on the quarterback coverage. A cover two is an eyes on the quarterback coverage. And cover four is a heavy reroute with matchup routes. But it can get you isolated on throws down the field.
Mm-hmm. So
you were thinking the same thing?
No.
Coach Sipple,
I was thinking about Lance Leipold right now when he called me out on Tampa 2, and I was waiting for you to call me out when I kept saying, I like to say it's about pattern matching, matching routes. And I was waiting for you to say, what is that?
Yeah.
Tell me what that is.
I should have said that.
Because I can't tell you. But Bo did it.
Bo did that.
Match routes.
Yeah. And putting.
What's that mean?
You know, the one thing that you can do is that in college football is you can have your hands on the receivers all the way until the ball's in the air. So in the NFL, it's 5 yards. So when you're playing eyes on ball, which is a version of three, if it's spot three, which means there's spot dropping, and then the corners are playing more of a bail or a thirds or a divider technique, and then the free safety is going to play somewhere between one and five. One's one receiver, five's the other receiver, and you dissect it. You don't have to be in the middle of the field. You have to be in the middle of the formation. So that's where things can change on you. But on those, it's free release. So there's no difficulty in running your routes. Right away, it's like, oh, man, this is awesome because no one's touching me, and I got free release, and I can find my spots.
Why would you want to play that?
There's times to rally back to the ball. There's times that eyes on the ball. When it does is on, and so would be on an athletic quarterback, because there's times in matchup zone your eyes will get turned away from the cue.
Boom.
And so all of a sudden when the quarterback takes off, it's like, okay, this is a problem. So there's a lot of different variables right there. That's the variable that is way different for Nebraska now, that they have a quarterback that could just take off, and before you didn't. And so, yes, he had taken off a little bit, but that was not your concern. Now you're like, if we screw it up, he might run for 50. Mm-hmm. Or before, it's like if you screw it up, you might get 9.
11, yeah.
Oh, yeah, something of that nature.
Iowa right now is 9th in total defense.
What's Penn State?
Hold on, Jake.
Sorry.
Scoring defense. Iowa's 9th, and Penn State is... 35th. They're not bad. I mean, they're allowing 21 points a game. That's not terrible. It's not as good as Iowa. Total defense, Penn State is high, actually. Iowa's 6th nationally in total defense. Penn State is a top 25 defense, 22nd.
Yeah. And Penn
so
State,
they're all right.
And Penn State's had to play at Ohio State. They've had to play Oregon at home.
Yep.
And I think, and they played Indiana. Think about that.
The gauntlet.
So Nebraska caught none.
They caught
Penn State caught all three. Mm-hmm. The top three teams are Oregon. They had to play. They had to play Ohio State, and they had to play Indiana.
And they played Oregon extremely close.
Overtime.
Two
overtimes. They played Indiana within the catch was one of the most amazing.
Could have won that game.
Right now, it's the most amazing play of the season.
Catch of the year, throw of the year, game of the year.
Think about that. So when you wonder why are they 35th, well, look at that to match up on.
Right.
I mean, it's quite a bit different.
And Ohio State, again, halftime close, they got blew out in the second half, but they were in that game for a while. Yeah. Just didn't end well for them.
And that's what wonder, where are they at emotionally? Are they kind of at that...
saw the game against Michigan State. What'd you think?
Are they at exhale? I don't think that they were back. They didn't look like they did against Indiana, which they made their rally thing to beat Indiana, and it fell short, but they still came back and won. Now it's like, okay, what do you guys have left? We got 11 games left in the season. Do we want to go? My guess is that they will play. My guess is that Penn State will play. Yeah. But what is their mood set? What is their mindset? There's some guys in there, in that locker room, that they won't say it out loud. They're going like, I just want this over. I just want this to end. And there's a lot that don't. There's a lot that don't. And that's on the coaches to see where they're at and see what's going on. But it appeared to me from when we watched the Michigan State team and watching them, they got a bunch of good dudes. It seems like their team's good guys. I mean, I watch them. I didn't see a bunch of this to each other and
class.
Whatever's going on like that. They look very, very classy, very well done.
It'll be very, like, the thing that will be intriguing is what's it look like defensively from Penn State compared to UCLA, and how will Lateef, how well will he handle it? And again, I'm not nearly as interested in the first quarter as the last quarter, the fourth quarter.
Yeah. How do you finish? It's going to be, how does Nebraska...
How do you finish?
How do you defend the run from mid-third to fourth?
Yep. Right.
Because you'll defend it pretty well early.
Yeah.
And then Nebraska was the same way back in the day. There was body blows.
Right.
And all of a sudden it was like the runs that were four turned into nine.
Exactly.
And there was just body blows.
The fourth quarter. Now, if you can... like, that's the whole thing with this... God, football. These games are long. They take forever. And that's what it is. Can you hold in there for 3 hours, you know? And I don't know. That's what you got to see. And that can Lateef. Now, if Nebraska wins, you don't envision them pulling away, right?
No.
So what's that mean?
In either game, Penn State or Iowa.
It means Lateef is going to have to make plays. Like Dylan made him at Maryland. Like Dylan did against Michigan State.
I would be shocked if this game's not a... I still think Nebraska has the upper hand overall.
But they will have to...
But I think it's going to be a tight window. I think we'd all be shocked if it turns into a 37-19 game Nebraska.
Yeah, I don't see that.
Because
think about the Northwestern game, what Dylan did. Those completions, four completions on third and medium and long. Can Lateef do something like that? Because he might have to, right?
Yeah, might have to be able to do that.
Because I don't think you can just send Emmett at him late. I think they're too stout. I don't think you say, well, let's hand it to Emmett. And he'll get you seven. I don't see that against
Penn State.
There'll
be a few more plays the quarterback will have to make. Like I said, just watch the vibe of the game. And it, like I said, and it will be that's a way different vibe, you know, playing at Penn State than playing at UCLA.
Oh, way different.
I mean, that's a way different vibe of, I mean, that
hardcore.
Was
hardcore.
It was beautiful, right? I mean, it was like being in heaven playing at UCLA.
Yeah, you know what UCLA
isn't,
though?
Perfect.
It's not hardcore.
No, not at all.
Not hardcore.
Not one part of it going like that, man. We're going into this is going to be a meat grinder.
Yeah, Penn State's like going into it's like a metal meat grinder. It's big metal.
What a visual
stadium.
That is.
It's a big metal stadium, and it leaks. And
thank you.
Like, it's on a hill, and it's the fans are sneering.
This is why he's the journalist of the year right here. All this stuff.
It's a metal.
Sneering, metal meat grinder.
Imagine walking into the stadium. That's
why.
Walking into the stadium, some sneering.
Bill,
see that?
They're kind of sneering.
You don't hear the word sneering very often.
You don't hear sneer near them. Nothing.
But it's a proper word, though.
Yeah.
Proper terminology.
So watch out for that. If you guys are going to the game,
watch out for the sneering.
Let me people sneer at you. And you let them know you don't appreciate it.
Sneer back at them.
I've been to Penn State several times, and I would describe it as an unkind scene.
In Croatia,
particularly.
Have you found out yet? Are you sharing a room with Robin or Sean?
Sean.
Bunk beds.
This will be a good question for Sean tomorrow.
Bunk beds.
We're doing the Airbnb. Yeah. I'm very concerned about it.
When we come back, it's time for NFL winners and losers next on Early Break in the Ticket.